SBC News.
And the news was read by Caroline Nichols. Copper turned stand-up Alfie Moore is here next with a tale of his brief stint as a custody officer as he takes us through a typical day on how to keep the timings in your head, cell etiquette and searches. It's a Fair Cop next, but after this life-changing moment.
On BBC Radio 4.
I knew I'd go to prison as soon as I woke up. I know this might sound strange, but I wanted to go.
Life Changing as a series will just make you look at the world a little bit differently.
I don't see it as a negative. I can't see it as a negative. What it has produced is this desire to be successful and help people.
The stories are all so different. Each one of them will make you question how you would have reacted under the same circumstances.
I made a pact that I would never drive ever again, and I've stuck to that.
The new series of Life Changing with me, Dr. Sian Williams, starts on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds this Wednesday morning at 9.
And now on Radio 4, another real-life case from the police officer turned comic, Alfie Moore, to tackle with his audience of deputised detectives.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police!
Hello, my name is Alfie Moore and welcome to It's a Fair Cop. The show where you, the audience, are sworn in to face the same policing dilemmas that I face in today's real case. I'm here to guide you as an experienced Humberside police sergeant, but today I'm off my patch and very excited to be in Lancashire, here in the historic town of Darwin. And I think I'm right in saying that's where evolution began. The Lancashire Constabulary appointed its first female officers in 1917, although they weren't allowed to wear uniforms until 1950, which is the longest dress-down Friday in history. Now, good news, you audience cops have been doing so well that this week you will all be promoted to the rank of temporary sergeant, which means you'll get a modest pay rise, some stripes, and almost certainly a nickname. All sergeants get nicknames. I can remember supervising a drugs warrant at a couple of connected addresses, needing simultaneous rapid entry, and so we were there with our battering rams poised, watches synchronised, and then at exactly 6 a.m, I was supposed to say, go, go, go. But under pressure, I'd forgotten the word. And so I shouted, strike, strike, strike. And after that, they called me Scargle. And then they said, well done, Alfie, you're now a qualified sergeant, so we're sending you on a custody officer's course. And I said, no, you're all right, that's not something that appeals to me. There's only one thing worse than locking people up, and that's locking yourself up with them. And they said, but we're short of custody sergeants. I said, I'm not surprised, it's a horrible job. And then they said, tough luck. It left me no option but to form a simple plan. I would fail the course. But when we got into the exam room, one thing soon became abundantly clear. We were all trying to fail the course. Unfortunately, it turned out they were much better at it than me, and I scraped a pass. In the end, there was no avoiding the fact that I was now a qualified custody sergeant, and for the purposes of tonight's show, so are you. There are over 300 custody suites spread across the UK. A Lancashire Constabulary have 5, whereas London's Metropolitan Police have 30. In a typical London borough, the average Met Bobby has 20 available cells, which sounds like a lot until you consider that the average human brain has 89 million cells. Today's true story is about my brief stint in the custody suite. Suite's a bit misleading as it's not quite as plush as it sounds. And on that note, we asked you, our audience, what's the worst place you've ever spent the night? And don't say Blackburn, that's just rude. Mel and Steve have said the Ice Hotel in Sweden. Why was it so bad? -5 degrees and a block of ice for the bed. Okay, so Mel and Steve, where are you? So, who am I speaking to, please?
Mel.
Mel. Hello, Mel. Hello, Mel. I want to appear empathetic at this point, of course, but just tell me, just for my benefit, I'm sure others as well, was there any point when you were booking it that you thought... You thought it might be a smidgen chilly at any point, did you? Next up, where's the worst place you've ever spent the night? And John McVeigh tells us, Wales. That's it. And we've got one here from Richard Ballantyne by the air vent of a supermarket. Mel and Steve would have probably been in the frozen section. Wondering why it was so cold. They were great. Give yourselves a round of applause. It's time to swear you all in as custody sergeants for the show. Please, all raise your right hand, repeat after me. Put your property on the counter. Right, you're all officially... temporary police sergeants for the show. PACE, the Police and Criminal Evidence Act 1984, Code C, is a complex and convoluted legislation that will be your Bible. Let's begin today's real case. Suddenly the radio bursts into life.
Scunthorpe Custody Suite, are you receiving?
Go ahead, over.
Just to make you aware, Bravo Kilo 04 are coming in with one adult male for shop theft.
Up to the counter walks PC Tate with her handcuffed detainee, a very ordinary-looking 24-year-old man. This is Kevin Clark. I've arrested him for shop theft in Currys at 10:34 hours. I write that time down. Times are important to custody sergeants. What time do you arrive in the backyard? 2 minutes ago, Sarge. I write that time down. The arrival time at the police station starts the custody clock. What are the circumstances of the arrest, PC Tate? He was seen by staff to remove this Apple iPad from display, push it up his jumper and attempt to leave the store. Any response to what that officer has just told me, Kevin?
Have you got an iPad charger?
Now, the first question, custody sergeants, are you authorising detention or refusing detention? It's your call, this. I'll give you three options. Option one, yes, of course, I'm authorising. It's an expensive item. Option two, there's a cost of living crisis and Apple have got loads of money. Option three, no, there are other ways to deal with it. Who's going for option one? Yes, of course, I'm authorising. OK, so I would say that's maybe 60% of the audience. Who says there's a cost of living crisis, Apple have got loads of money, I'm not going to authorise detention? Who's giving that reason? OK, we've got one person in the middle. OK. Who says no because there are other ways to deal with this? Who says that? What's your name, please?
Moggy.
Moggy?
Yeah.
Great name. And what's your thinking, Moggy?
My thinking is there's only a finite number of cells and theft is quite a common crime.
I think that's a very good line of logic. This is the daytime. Cells aren't at such a premium in the morning. But if this was a Friday or a Saturday night, I'd go with that logic all day. So my answer is, I am authorising. He was behaving like an accomplished shoplifter. He might have got a house full of Apple products, more like an orchard. I need to make a note of the time I'm authorising detention. That's another clock just started. That's called the review clock or the pace clock. Don't confuse that with the custody clock. That's a different clock. The custody clock counts down the 24 hours in which we must charge him, whereas the pace clock tells us when his detention requires a formal review, because although the arrival time in this case is the same as the relevant time, which is different to the arrest time and also the detention time. All clear? I continue my risk assessment to see if I can identify any vulnerabilities. How are you feeling at the moment, Kev? Any injuries? No, I feel fine. Are you on any medication, consumed any alcohol or drugs? No, don't use them. Kevin, you have certain rights whilst you're in police custody. You have a right to free legal advice. We did actually have one recently and I said you've been arrested for shop theft and he replied,
I'm a freeman of the land. I don't believe in the law. And I said, that's OK, we've got the Crown Prosecution Service and they don't believe in the law either. Kevin, you're also entitled to a copy of Pace, Codes of Practice. You've probably already realised it's the most boring book ever written, so no one ever asked for that. The book actually comes with a bonus pamphlet called How to Stay Awake While Reading the Pace, Codes of Practice. You're also entitled to have someone notified you're in custody. Usually we don't allow a private phone call. We stop that business after one of the prisoners ordered a pizza to be... to be delivered to the police station, and very nice it was too. Before you judge me, let me say that detainees can't really have food brought in as it can be used to smuggle in drugs. For example, sprinkling amphetamines on pizzas, which means I shouldn't have eaten it, really. And looking back, I thought that shift did pass really quickly. Our detainee, Kevin, is searched and his pockets emptied and the contents documented. Are you happy with that level of searching? Do any of you custody sergeants want to authorise a strip search for controlled drugs or anything that could be used to harm himself or another? OK. Hands up if, custody sergeants, you are authorising a strip search. Anybody? No, you put your hand up and down pretty quickly, didn't you? No one. Well, let me remind you that on the 25th of September 2020, Matt Ratana, a custody sergeant who was just about to retire after 30 years' service, was shot dead inside a police custody facility in London. The murderer, who had already been searched once, used a loaded firearm concealed in the small of his back. Shocking though that tragedy was, the actions of that murderer shouldn't mean the civil liberties of others are impinged, and I agree, there are no grounds to strip search Kevin. But that doesn't mean that the search shouldn't be thorough. We can ask a detainee to remove their outer clothing, and often items that can be used as a ligature, belts, cords, shoelaces will be taken. Would you let him keep his spectacles? Yes. Well, let's take a vote on that. Oh, it's interesting. Who says no? Okay, who says yes then? Let's have the yeses. Okay, let me just have a brief word with a yes. Yeah, what's your name, please?
My name's David.
David, hello, David.
Hello.
So you're going to let him keep his specs? What's your thinking?
Well, he's got to read that Pace thing, so...
Yeah. In view of that, David, it might be kinder to take them off him.
That's a fair point.
OK, thank you. The answer is, usually we would, but it depends on the risk assessment. One guy in his cell stabbed himself in the chest using broken spectacles. Fortunately, we were able to staunch the blood with his lens cleaning cloth. Right, Kevin, the procedure is that one of the detention officers will now take your fingerprints photograph and DNA sample. Sign here to say that you consent, please. No, I'm not signing. I don't consent. I'm innocent till proven guilty. I've not been charged with anything. I'm not consenting. Oh dear, custody sergeants, Kevin's not consenting. What are you going to do? I'm going to give you two options this time. Option one, that's fine, Kevin. You've every right to refuse. Option two, get some reinforcements in. We're taking them by force. So, who says he's every right to refuse? What's your name?
Steve.
Steve, OK, Steve. What's your thinking there? He's got a right to refuse, you think?
Yeah, he has, but he's still put him in the cell.
Still put him in the cell, yeah? But you think he can refuse to have his biometric information taken?
Yes.
What if we charge him, release him, and then he says, that wasn't me?
That's a good question.
I explained to Kevin that I have lawful authority to take them by force, if necessary, at which point he cooperates. That done, I explained to Kevin that he will now be placed into a cell until the investigating officer is in a position to interview. That's when Kevin tells me, no, I can't go in a cell. I'm claustrophobic and I get anxiety in confined spaces. Here we go again. Three options. Option one is tell him he doesn't have to go into a cell. Option two, give him some medical attention. Option three, tell him to stop being a big baby.
So there are your options, audience sergeants. So who is going to go for telling him he doesn't have to go into a cell? Who's going to go for that? Thank you. What's your name, please?
Alison.
You're going to tell him he doesn't have to go into a cell, Alison?
Yeah, maybe you could just handcuff him to an officer and he could stand in a waiting room. You have got a waiting room, haven't you?
You can see how that might tie an officer up.
Oh, that's why you've got the cells, isn't it?
Yeah. Alison, fast-track promotion for you. I think you are senior management material. No, it's fair comment, and some other people might be thinking, well, sit him on a bench, but everything we do is very resource-intensive unless he's locked in a secure cell. So the people are going to give him some medical attention. Where are you? That's a good 50% of the audience. And who says, tell him to stop being a big baby? OK, welcome to Lancashire, yeah. You know what happens if you take him to the hospital, don't you, for medical attention? His custody clock stops, but his detention clock keeps going. A lot of people come into the police station and say they have claustrophobia. Some are telling the truth, some aren't. But even if they are, there's no real alternative to small rooms when you're in custody. What are you going to tell the judge? I'm sorry, Your Honour, I can't go to prison. The official advice is to be calm, reassure them and encourage them to breathe more slowly. Take them to a cool, quiet place. Yeah, I was thinking that sounded like a cell. But we certainly can't ignore it. It's only a couple of years ago since George Floyd repeatedly told arresting officers that he had claustrophobia, and it was only when he was placed in the back of the police car did he seriously start to resist. Fortunately, these days, most custody suites have a nurse in situ, a healthcare professional on hand who is best placed to advise. But at the end of the day, there's no real plan B to going into a cell. It is happening. So let's have a quick assessment of how we're doing. It's your first day as a temporary custody sergeant. You've finally got your prisoner into a cell, and with all the clocks running, you're working across more time zones than a Doctor Who Christmas special. Our next responsibility is to establish a care plan for monitoring any risks to the detainee, who all get one of these levels of observation. Level one is general, which is a physical check every hour. Option two is checks every 30 minutes when the prisoner is roused. And I could have done with that when I was on my exciting stakeout, when I was parked on an industrial estate, staring at a door for 12 hours, which never opened. I say it never opened. Level three is constant observation with the cell door ajar. And finally, close proximity observation. That's full on, constant, intense. So that's your dog watching you eat a sausage sandwich. It's that intense. My answer was I went for the intermittent 30-minute checks to start with, leading up to an hour once I was happy that he had settled. The 30-minute checks are typically for people who are drunk, and rousing means physically waking them up. And I need to say the word rousing very clearly, as it has been known for the detention officer to record that they aroused the prisoner every 30 minutes. Which I'm sure you'll agree is a pretty good effort. And in order to determine that they are awake, you're supposed to ask them a simple question. Can you imagine waking a very drunk guy up every half an hour through the night and asking, Minister, have you recovered from your work event? Back to Kevin, who's now settled in his cell, awaiting his milky tea with two sugars, when an alert pops up on the custody computer informing that the live scan fingerprints recorded earlier from Kevin have come back with a positive identification, and he's not Kevin Clark at all. His name is Chris Sanderson. He had a long police record, and he was also a high-frequency Class A drug user. You know, earlier, when our assessment was that we didn't need a strip search, anyone changing their mind now? Hands up if you change your mind. I would say that's nearly everybody. I'm with these strippers. I was He is a Class A drug user. He's lied about it. Maybe he's avoiding being strip searched because he's concealing something on him. As a rule, there will be two detention officers of the same gender as the defendant. What if someone identified as different to their birth assigned gender? We're respecting the wishes, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's most people that say that. What if it was Big Dave who needed strip searching? Big, hairy, bearded, blokey bloke Dave, who you've known for years and has never presented as anything else, but loves to be as awkward as possible just to wind the police up, and he says, I now consider myself a woman. And you don't believe a word he's saying. What gender officers do you assign to strip search Dave? One of each. That's... How very garden fancy. And believe me, that will be happening. You arrest some people and take away their liberty, which is a big deal. That's the only power and control they have left, is to try and be as awkward as possible. Some detainees will adopt a childlike state and it becomes a parent-adult type relationship. Do you have any teachers in?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. There was a one-day walkout about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. The reason I remember it is I tend to work nights doing this, and I was brought in as an emergency babysitter for my lovely little niece, Charlotte, and she's absolutely adorable. She wasn't like me. She loved school. And when I got down to their address, she was all ready to go to school. Nobody had told her. She was there in a duffel coat, a little Princess Fiona sandwich box tucked under her arm. And I had to break it to her to say, look, I'm sorry, darling. There is no school today. The teachers are on strike. And she said, but Uncle Alfie, I love school. Can't I go in anyway? And I said, scab, 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 scab. Maybe Scargill wasn't a bad nickname after all. Back to our real case of Chris, formerly known as Kevin, and I inform him of my grounds and reason for authorising the strip search and allocate two male officers. There's been a fair bit of media confusion about this recently, and so to be clear, a strip search is different to an intimate search. An intimate search consists of physical examination of a person's body orifices other than the mouth. Intimate searches are carried out by medical professionals, not by police officers. The strip search is carried out with a negative result. Detainee Chris is offered refreshments, but he doesn't want food and begins to get restless, sweaty. Looks like he may be displaying withdrawal symptoms from opiates. Do we let him do his rattle, or do we get him some medical attention at taxpayers' expense? Let's take a vote on this, then. Who says, I'm going to get him a doctor? Well, I'm going to go with 80% of the audience. OK, so who's going to talk to me and tell me why you're not going to get him a doctor? There's no wrong answer, just you won't have a job on Monday. What's your name, please?
It's Chris.
Chris, what are you thinking there, Chris?
I'm thinking wait a bit until he goes down. And then when he goes down... Because if you ring an ambulance for him while he is now, he's going to be an ass in the ambulance. So wait until he goes down.
Wait until he collapses, yeah.
If he needs any Narcan, he can get it in the ambulance then. But
yeah.
If you take him now, he's going to be an ass in the A&E as well.
Okay, yeah, okay. What do you do?
I'm a paramedic.
Okay, yeah, we will get him some medical attention. He's now constantly ringing his buzzer. Can you ring a buzzer? I don't know, but... Can we switch the buzzer off? Okay. Anybody switching the buzzer off? Well, the paramedic is obviously... You're switching the buzzer off, the lights off. Anyone else? Anyone else going to switch your buzzer off? What's your name, please?
Joe.
Joe?
Yeah.
Joe, you're switching his buzzer off. Why?
I'm assuming you've got cameras in the cells.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine that you'll be able to keep an eye on what he's doing and what he's up to.
Yeah, and it's really annoying, isn't it?
As long as you've given him something to eat, something to drink, you've made sure he's warm, he's got everything that he needs.
Yeah, do you know, I like your thinking, Joe. You've got to think of the mental health of your staff. What do you do, Joe?
I'm a psychiatric nurse.
Okay. Well done, Joe. I mean, it can get really annoying when people are pressing the buzzer all the time, and it tends to be worse at night, keeping everybody up. Before the CCTV was installed, we used to be more creative with how we dealt with it. We had a fancy dress box in our custody suite that was left over from one of the Christmas parties that we'd dip into on occasions. One memorable item was a fancy dress moose head. One night when I was a young Bobby, we had a guy in who was very drunk and angry and a real pain in the backside, keeping all the other detainees up all the night, banging, kicking the door, pressing the buzzer, shouting, singing, whistling. By 3 a.m, the custody sergeant was at his wit's end and ordered me to get the prisoner. He said, get him out, we're taking him to court, right? Which confused me as the court was closed. Anyhow, there was a lift that took you straight up into the defendant's box, which was above the police station. And I stood there in the box, handcuffed to this prisoner, in this dimly lit courtroom, nobody there. And we stood there for a couple of minutes, and then the judge's chambers door opened, and out walked someone in full judge's robes, but wearing a moose head. He sat down, pointed at the defendant, tuttered loudly, then placed a black handkerchief on his moose head and sentenced the guy to death. I took him back to his cell, and you know what? He never made another peep. All night. Back to our detainee Chris, who wasn't as bad as that. Detainee Chris was seen by a doctor, interviewed, and fully admitted the theft of the iPad. And in light of his previous convictions, it's a straightforward decision to charge him to court for shop theft. I mean, that's not to say that the court won't give him a referral into a drug treatment programme as a diversion from custody. Their decision. However, Chris originally gave a false name. So, anybody charging him with obstructing the police? What's your name, please?
Nick.
Nick, what's your thinking, Nick?
Well, he's already lied about his name, drugs and everything else.
Yeah.
Can't let him get away with it.
Can't get away with lying? You think it's important that we take him to task?
I think it has to be. It's got to be an all or nothing scenario.
Okay, good for you. And the person next door, what do you think, sir?
Same reason, but wasting police time.
Wasting police time has got a value to it. Yeah, no, the offence of wasting police time is a more serious offence. It's got quite a high value that you have to evidence. And we're talking thousands and thousands of pounds. You've got evidence in police time wasted before you can charge with that. I'll tell you what I did. I agree with you. You lie on a council form for the Traffic Camera Enforcement Department, and that's attempting to pervert the course of justice. Serious. You lie to the judge or magistrate, that's perjury. Very serious. You lie to a police officer, the physical front line of the criminal justice system, and that's just normal. That needs to change. And so my shift in the custody suite was mercifully over, and although it's not for me, I'd like to finish by paying tribute to my colleagues who fill that challenging role. May you always have the patience of a saint, the wisdom of Solomon, and the head of a moose. It's a Fair Cop was written and performed by me, Alfie Moore. The script editor was Will Ing, and the producer was Sam